We'll react a little bit to what Adam had to say there and get to a piece on theathletic.com done by our very own Joe Rexrode highlighting the new starting quarterback of the Tennessee Volunteers. That's coming up next. Right now, though, got to tell you about my friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. And speaking of college football, FanDuel Sportsbook is hooking new users up with enhanced 30-1 odds for the first big college football game of the season. You can pick either Georgia or Clemson to win, and you could turn a $5 bet into a $150 payday. I like Georgia in this game. I like the experience they bring to the table. JT Daniels at quarterback. Give me the Bulldogs in this game, but you take it any way you want to take it. All you got to do is sign up and make your first deposit to kick off the college football season on America's number one sportsbook, and there's no better place to bet on college football than on FanDuel. They're the number one rated sportsbook app. They're easy to use, and you get paid in as little as 24 hours. So make the most out of college football this week with enhanced 30-1 odds on Georgia versus Clemson. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up using promo code ROB so they know that we sent you. That promo code is ROB. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only. Must wager in designated offer market. A $10 first deposit required. $150 max bonus. Bonus for Tennessee users fulfilled in site credit within 72 hours. Tennessee site credit expires 14 days after receipt. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Friday, it's your chance to participate in the Nashville SC Pick to Click, brought to you by Camarena Tequila. If you guess correctly which player scores a goal in the game this Saturday, you win a prize pack and a four-pack of tickets to an upcoming Nashville SC home game. Participate this Friday morning at 9:45. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Thanks to Adam Sparks for joining us in the last segment. We'll be joined at 7:30 by Titans defensive back Elijah Molden. So looking forward to that conversation coming up here in about 12 minutes or so. And Tennessee taking on Bowling Green coming up on Thursday night, and Josh Heupel naming the starting quarterback yesterday in his press conference. Joe Milton will be the starting quarterback for Tennessee. I think not much of a surprise on that front, but as Adam mentioned, he is not named backup. Harrison Bailey and Hendon Hooker both still in competition for the backup spot, listed as the or on the depth chart. It's going to be Harrison Bailey or Hendon Hooker on that front. Joe, what was your reaction to Joe Milton being named the starting quarterback, and were you surprised that Heupel came out and just named him without even being asked yesterday, just named Joe Milton as the starting quarterback?
No, I wasn't that surprised by it. I certainly the work I've done the last few days on a Joe Milton story, you know, like if he had named like Harrison Bailey, that could have been problematic, I guess, for me, you know.
It could have.
Although, you know, it's still an interesting story with Joe Milton. But I wasn't surprised by it. I mean, look, like Sparks said, it's a pretty poorly kept secret anyway. And there's certainly no reason to do this from a competitive standpoint, right? So it's really just a matter of, I think it was a sensible move. Just here it is, everybody, get it out there, move on. And then also, it's not like everyone asking all the questions about the quarterback stuff after the game. That kind of gets out of the way yesterday. I mean, really, I think it's a better way to handle it.
And to that point, a story up this morning on theathletic.com about Joe Milton that you've put together after talking with some people close to Joe Milton. And it's really interesting to see what his journey has looked like from the time he was recruited in high school through his tumultuous time last year at Michigan as well, now to being named the starting quarterback for Tennessee. And, you know, Adam brought this up in the last segment too. Physically, you look at him and you just say, wow. I mean, he's got all the tools there. He's got the size. He can run with the ball. I mean, we talked yesterday with Wes Rucker. I mean, he brought up Cam Newton as a physical comparison to Joe Milton. But just the backstory here of how Joe Milton has landed here and what sort of an opportunity this is, not only for Tennessee, but for Joe Milton as well, is a pretty interesting piece that you put together at theathletic.com.
Well, I'll tell you, I've flipped totally from like my initial reaction when they got Joe Milton. I was like, I don't know, man. He just wasn't very impressive. And when you go through everything, and granted, I talked with people who are very much biased for Joe Milton. I talked with his inner circle here for this story. And, you know, and so you're talking high school coach, you're talking high school kind of mentor 7-on-7 coach, and then the QB coach he still works with in Michigan. And yeah, they are biased, but they make some compelling points about, what happened last year. I think the most, I guess, interesting thing for me was, really they're upset. And I don't totally understand why Michigan kept that such a secret last year. The thumb. I went back and watched the play that I think he hurt it on, and you can easily see it happening on the play. Tore ligaments, and again, like the performance from him was he was incredible in the first game,
yep.
And then he was still threw for like 650 yards in the next two games. So obviously, like the thumb was still functioning, but decision making got worse. There's a lot to it where it's like, well, how could that? That's not just the thumb, right? But to their point, well, when you have less confidence in throwing certain passes and things, and it's constantly dragging on you, and then the team's playing poorly, and you lose to Michigan State, lose to Indiana. It a lot of things went down the tubes to the point then where he gets replaced. Our beat writer, we had Austin Meek on last week, and I mean, in the offseason, he predicted like Joe Milton's going to come back and beat out Cade McNamara and start this year, but Milton was out of there. He got his degree from Michigan. He's out of there. And I guess the question is, did Tennessee stumble upon, something special here? And I will tell you, after having gone through this and talked to these people and really look at how it all went for him last year, I think that there's a lot of pressure on Harbaugh. And you just, if you're Harbaugh, there was talk about him being fired last year. You can't mess around. And so they made the switch, and it may end up, look, maybe Cade McNamara will be good for them this year, but I think there's a lot of people around the Michigan program who are looking at Tennessee and saying, oh man, if Joe just goes off this year, what a missed opportunity. Cause everyone thought this was Harbaugh's finally his, homegrown quarterback that was going to take them to glory.
Well, and it's interesting, too, because, I brought up the opportunity that this is not only for Joe Milton but Tennessee. We talked about this last week. Josh Dobbs, great player for Tennessee. But outside of him, there's really not been that quarterback that you've built the team around since, Peyton Manning? Tennessee, it's been a long time since they've had that. I mean, Eric Ainge was a good college player. Casey Clawson was a good college player. But, I mean, none of those guys were high-level NFL prospects. And I'm not saying that Joe Milton is necessarily going to be that either. But it is, when you have that size, you have that ability to launch the football, as we know that he does, you can start to let that mind wander a little bit. And it's interesting in this story, and you brought this up, yesterday here on the show, that there are people close to Joe Milton that don't think he's going to be around at Tennessee very long because he's going to end up in the NFL. I mean, I don't know that I'm willing to go there yet. And to Adam's point from last segment, I think we're going to find out the answer to those questions as you start to get into SEC play a little bit, especially beginning with that Florida game. But this is exactly what Tennessee needs. If you could get high-level Joe Milton and Joe Milton to hit his ceiling, that's a pretty big deal for Josh Heupel in year one.
Yeah. Well, it's a kickstart, It's a kickstart to everything you're trying to do, because look, I agree with you. I'm saying pump the brakes, even as I'm driving the car 120 miles an hour off the ditch, I'm driving the hype train here. So I've got to take responsibility, but yeah, I would say pump the brakes on all of a sudden, the NFL is going to be clamoring for him, but he has the tools. No one will disagree with that. No one will disagree with the idea that he has everything that you would need, including, I think, the personality. And that comes through a little bit in the piece too. I mean, he is a leader. Like last year when he started out, it wasn't just that he's this great athlete with a huge arm and everything. Like, he was leading that team. And then again, it all went bad, but what if that thumb injury ends up being, a stroke of incredible luck for Tennessee? I mean, to your point, like, there hasn't been a quarterback that the NFL was clamoring for. Again, Dobbs is in the league. I mean, and there's been other guys. Ainge was a pick, but like a high pick, it is kind of crazy to think that it's been since Peyton. They haven't had any. Dobbs in the fourth round is the highest picked Tennessee quarterback since Peyton Manning. And I mean, that alone right there is a lot of the story. So if you had 1 year, and again, Milton has 3 years of eligibility, so he doesn't have to do it this year. He could be there, and he may need a lot more work. But there's less pressure, too, this year to just move on from him, I would say, like there was unlike at Michigan. And so if it's still a big project, and if these guys are what they're supposed to be, Heupel and the offensive staff, then it could work out really well for both sides.
And you can check out that story at theathletic.com coming out this morning from our very own Joe Rexroad. And you can check out Joe Milton in action Thursday night as Tennessee opens the season against Bowling Green. When we come back, we'll be joined by Titans defensive back Elijah Molden. Had a pretty good training camp so far. We're looking forward to that conversation coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Michelle Knezevic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. Scheduled to be joined shortly by Titans defensive back Elijah Molden. So looking forward to that coming up here in just a few minutes. And Joe Rexroad, you talked pretty glowingly yesterday about Elijah Molden and how he's come on in the last couple of weeks at training camp through the preseason for the Titans, maybe even to the point now where on opening day, maybe Elijah Molden is your starting slot corner at nickel for the Titans. What have just been your impressions early on for Elijah Molden so far through camp, and what do you kind of think makes him translate so well this early on in his career to playing slot corner in the NFL?
I think he's one of those guys who is actually just perfectly made for that position. Obviously not a big guy, but a great change of direction. And obviously the fact that Alex Molden, his dad, played in the NFL sure helps him. It's pretty clear, and he talked yesterday too, that he's a film guy. And I know everybody in the league watches film. You have to watch film. Everybody in college football watches film too. But some people enjoy it and are good at it and use it to their benefit. And I'd say he's one of those guys.
I would say you're absolutely right on that front. And we are pleased to go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Titans defensive back Elijah Molden. Elijah, what's going on, man? How we doing?
Doing well, man. How you doing?
Doing great. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. Just wanted to get your thoughts on how training camp go for you, your first NFL training camp through the preseason here with the Titans. What have been your impressions so far with your new team?
Man, training camp lasted long, but it also went by like in the blink of an eye. That's what a lot of people say. I think just throughout the course of, a couple of weeks, gained a lot of confidence just from my teammates and my teammates trusting me and being able to make plays. I'm really just like learning a lot, kind of, get my feet wet and get comfortable in the system.
So, Elijah, yesterday you were asked about Courtland Finnegan, the Courtland Finnegan comparison. But you're also talking about rushing the passer from the slot, mm-hmm. which, of course, we all saw you somehow go under two guys to get a sack in Tampa Bay. But I know you've studied other players. Have you at all watched Logan Ryan from a couple years ago in this defense, a guy who was really effective as an occasional blitzer out of the slot?
Yeah, a ton of film. Like, I watched this whole 2019 season. It just makes sense just because he was, he was in our defense and he was the best. He was the best at the, for that year for the Titans. So, I learned a lot from him. I'm also able to get, his practice film, which is what I geek out over, just because a lot of people see the games, but not a lot of people see practice where he's, taking risks and learning and discovering new types of techniques. So that's what I like to watch.
Okay, so you're watching his practice film. Now that is some serious, that's some devotion to film. Is that common, or would you say that's like going an extra mile if you're going back and watching someone's practice film?
I just think it makes sense for me. Like, if I wanted to, if I want to learn from someone, I want to watch as much film of them as I can. And that means, practice film, cause I can see how they operate individual drills, and I can see how they compete in one-on-ones and their footwork. And then I can even ask my coach, like, kind of what type of, I guess, what's his mindset when he's out there on the field. So, yeah.
Eliza, as you've kind of gone through training camp here and with the regular season coming here in less than 2 weeks, what would you say you've learned the most throughout your time in the NFL so far, or from a technique standpoint of what it takes to play your position at the NFL level?
Dude, I'd probably just say you have to keep your head on a swivel just with how much offenses motion and change formation. Really, it's like nickel seems like a juggling act at all times. So just being able to be fluid and be adaptable in that position while also going up against, you know, the quickest guys on the field. It's a lot to handle, but really you just got to take one play at a time and one day at a time.
So, Elijah, overall, this defense has been, you know, really successful. The preseason, and you have to take all of that, you know, for what it is. And it's different when you guys line up against Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins and Rondale Moore for you specifically. But how much confidence do you think has been grown for the group from Shane Bowen down over the past month, even having some success against what you guys know is a very good, you know, Titans offense in practice?
Yeah, I think in terms of defense, early on we knew we had, just like looking around at the guys we have, you know, all positions, we got some dudes. And you know, I've only been here a couple months, so I can't speak to what it was like last year or this and that. But I know this year, you know, I think the standard is, from what I've heard, the standard has changed. And that's just coming from KB and guys on defense. I think they're holding everyone to a high standard.
Titans defensive back Elijah Molden on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Elijah, what's it been like from your vantage point so far playing under Mike Vrabel? I know that he's been out the last few days, at least on the field at practice, but just your impressions of playing for Mike Vrabel to this point.
I think he's a guy you want to play for, you know what I mean? Like, you could tell he loves ball. I think him not being, you know, I think he misses it just because he hasn't been here a week, and we can all kind of feel his presence on the field. But yeah, I mean, like I said, he's a person I want to play for. Yeah.
Well, he's certainly, I mean, I've noticed just from the sideline, Elijah, you know, you take Vrabel's voice off the practice field. And that's a constant. Mm-hmm. He's got his head on a swivel. And he's got a lot of, you know, loud comments on a lot of different things out there.
Yeah.
That, you know, he's in command. He's the head coach. You can tell. I could certainly tell the difference. How different was it for you guys with him out of there? And what has it been like? Like, are people walking around with iPads? Like, hey, Coach Vrabel's got something to tell you, guys. Or like, bring his face into a room. Like, what's that involvement been like in the past week?
I mean, you know, he's obviously still coaching from home over Zoom, and he'll pop in a couple meetings and give coaching points. I think one thing about him is he, like I said earlier, he loves to coach, and he's worn many different hats. When he was a player, you know, he talked about how he was, you know, dominantly a special teams player his first couple of years, and then you know, throughout his career, like, his role changed. So he's able to coach up a lot of different positions. So, you know, I think, you know, he just loves the coach, and that's evident.
Elijah, what have you made of your receiving room on this team? We've talked a lot about that here on the show, obviously with AJ and Julio kind of leading the charge on that front. But the depth at wide receiver, what's it been like from your vantage point to go up against that each day in practice so far?
I think it's great just because we got so many different types of receivers. You got, you know, smaller, quicker guys, and then a lot of bigger targets. So, like, you know, lining up just to practice, I'm competing against a different type of receiver, like, every drive and every day. So, and that's great just because you're going to see different body types in the slot. So just kind of, you know, working my technique against different opponents, like, that'll get me ready for the game. But, you know, we definitely have some players in the receiver room. I'm excited to see what they do.
And Elijah, obviously, I mean, you and Chris Jackson have been, you know, have been battling both at that spot. I know Chris got hurt in Florida, and we don't know what the lineup's going to look like opening day, but I know you guys all have to prepare to be playing. I'm just wondering, I mentioned Rondale Moore earlier, guy who was a really fun, explosive player out of Purdue. How much have you in your mind pivoted to Arizona? How much is everyone pivoting there? And have you dug in on that film yet?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're our next opponent, and they're a couple, you know, what, a week and a half away, 2 weeks away. So yeah, I haven't dove deep yet, but I've watched a couple cutups of players and whatnot. You know, really, I think that's normal when you love the game. You're gonna, you know, do everything you can to prepare for the game, and then at that point, to a certain extent, I think the outcome is decided before you even step on the field.
So I got to ask you, Elijah. Now camp is broken now, so it's basically like the routine that you guys are going to have. But during camp, did you have rookie moments? Did you sing the fight song? Did you sing something else? Do a skit? Carry bags, buy donuts. Any, you know, how'd that go for you?
Man, they really all blend together. I did recently sing the fight song. Not that long ago, we had a rookie skit that went well for the DBs. I mean, usually it's at the beginning of every team meeting. We'll have a rookie go up there, and I did my fair share.
Titans defensive back. Go ahead, Joe.
Who in the skit? I know sometimes you guys will have to like play or impersonate coaches. Did any of that happen? And if so, who did you impersonate? And can you do that quickly for us? A couple lines.
Nah, you're not gonna set me up, man. You're not gonna set me up. there are some good laughs, a couple impersonations, a couple lookalikes and stuff. I think, you know, people encourage us, the rookies, to go after the big names. So that's kind of what we did.
Elijah Molden, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Titans defensive back. The Titans taking on the Arizona Cardinals coming up on September the 12th. Elijah, thanks so much for taking time to join us this morning, and continued success as you move through your rookie year here.
Thank you both. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Elijah Molden, thanks, Titans Elijah. Defensive back, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll come back. We'll react a little bit to what Elijah Molden had to say there. Welcome your thoughts as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game, streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. Thanks to Titans defensive back Elijah Molden for joining us in the last segment. We'll be joined to begin the 8 o'clock hour by our man Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, who broke some big NFL news over the weekend regarding Deshaun Watson and potential trade destination. So we'll get more into that coming up at 8 o'clock with Charles from Yahoo Sports. Joe, your reaction to Elijah Molden there, who I think as the days get closer to the start of this season, he's going to play a pretty pivotal role on the defensive side of the ball for the Titans this year, maybe starting as quickly as week one for the Titans against the Cardinals and your beloved Rondale Moore.
That's right. Got to get ready for Rondale, the Boilermaker, who one of our Cardinals writer put him as a fantasy sleeper, by the way, just saying.
Hey, buddy.
I think Rondale Moore could be interesting. But, yeah, look, I think one of the good developments of camp has been Elijah Molden. I don't think there's any doubt about it. You can't count on very many rookies, and I'm talking even first or second round picks, to just come right in and snap your fingers and be ready to rock. And it was a process for Molden. And Rondale Moore is going to be a problem for people. You know, there's going to be times when Elijah Molden, I'm sure, looks like a rookie out there, but this looks like a good pick right now. I mean, from the information we have right now, including speaking with him, but also watching him play, seeing how he makes plays. I thought the Tampa Bay game in particular was a great example of just how heady he is and how quick he reacts to things and how physical he can play. He can be really physical out there. So I think it's going to end up being a good pick for the Titans. And it's so important to have that slot guy You know, I think last year they had different people in there. I mean, obviously we know what a mess it was last year all the way around, but they were, you know, trying different people in there. And if you can have someone like this is a slot corner, that is his profession. And you can have that person long-term. I think that you feel great about that with your defense. I mean, the dude watched Logan Ryan's practice film from 2015. Yeah. Now look, there's plenty of guys in this league who watch a lot of film. Kevin Byard is a standard setter in that building. AJ Brown, you know, there's no coincidence that some of those guys also end up being top players. But that's some devotion right there. Logan Ryan's practice film from 2019.
Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable. And you know, I thought it was a great question by you because it makes sense, right, for Elijah Molden to be watching film of Logan Ryan in this defense and the different skill sets that he brought to the table. Practice film I did not expect on that one. That's some dedication on that front. And look, I'll say this. Look, I don't know exactly what Elijah Molden is going to translate into at the NFL level, but the sack in the preseason game against Tampa Bay where he just ducked under the entire offensive line of Tampa Bay, it's pretty impressive. Looked a little bit like some Logan Ryan out there blitzing the quarterback.
I mean, I never saw Logan Ryan go underground for a sack.
That is true.
But, no, it's look, Logan Ryan, of course, that was the big thing 2 years ago, if you remember. It was like, I mean, I remember Kevin Byard saying, like, that's one of the great seasons the defensive backs had with the Titans. And then, you know, what Pro Football Focus or whatever,
yeah,
terrible grades. I mean, clearly Logan Ryan has slowed down some and all that, and it was a big number for Logan Ryan. But the guy made a lot of plays for this team. The guy made a lot of plays on the football field that helped the Titans win games, and they missed him last year. I firmly believe that. They missed him from a lot of aspects, too. He was one of the leaders on defense as well. And so you can't expect Molden to come in this year and be that right away, but I think he's looking at the right guy. You know, Logan Ryan maybe at times was victimized, and certainly when he had to go on the outside that year, he was victimized at times. Teams picked on him, but he was a guy who compensated for those things because he was such a student of the game. So that's a great model for Molden, I would say.
So if Molden is going to be the guy in the slot, what does that do for the rotation of the rest of the room? That's going to be the interesting question as they move forward here, because you have Christian Fulton on the outside right now. He's played well during the preseason. Obviously, Jackrabbit Jenkins is in there as well. But eventually, you would hope Caleb Farley is going to be a part of things. You brought up Chris Jackson with Elijah Molden, how they've been competing for that spot in the slot. Obviously, Molden has kind of moved up with Jackson being on the back burner right now. But when Chris Jackson is back and available for this team to play, what do you think this rotation is going to look like for the Titans at corner? Because I agree with you from your 53-man roster projection early. I think the players themselves in the roster spots are pretty clear cut at the corner position. But what exactly do you think the rotation is going to look like for the Titans at that position?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's, you know, it's, look, Molden could have rookie struggles, and at some point they may be like, well, you know, someone else has got to go in there. That certainly could happen too, but it just feels like he's on his way to, again, kind of, I mean, I think long-term, I like his chances a lot. This year, how many ups and downs are there? I mean, I don't know. How much does Caleb Farley push? Right now, he's got work to do. I mean, I think anybody who saw Caleb Farley Saturday night, if you watched him closely in that game, He's a step slow on stuff right now. You know, at one point he got trucked. He's out there playing with physicality, and again, he's got the length and the speed, but he's not ready right now to me to go out there and play winning football on a Sunday. So does that mean he won't be this year? I wouldn't bet against him if he can stay healthy. But then, what does that do? I mean, I think it's just you've got a fourth guy who can come in if either of the other two outside guys falter. I think that's probably what it is. But I think Fulton had a good camp, and I think Jenkins had a good camp. And I don't know how long, you know, Jenkins can be counted on to play at that level, but right now he is certainly running better than like Malcolm Butler ran last year. I mean, that's an upgrade in speed. Fulton has good speed. So I just, it's kind of a question of will Farley be able to push in there? And they also do look, Chris Jackson was the number one slot all through camp before he got hurt. And Breon Borders, I don't think that they would be, I don't think that they would be too hesitant to put him out there either. So it's a good, you know, depth competition situation.
Well, it is. And it's interesting to think about that now, because one of the big questions, maybe the biggest question we had going into the draft, was what's going to happen at corner. I mean, Malcolm Butler was gone, Adoree Jackson was gone, and you know there was just not much there at the cornerback position. And we'll see how it translates on the field beginning September the 12th against Arizona, and they've got some big threats at wide receiver. But I feel pretty good about the depth of this cornerback position. I mean, you're going to need Molden to play well. You're going to need Caleb Farley to be a factor and a part of this at some point. I think at some point this year you're going to need him to be a part of it. But I feel pretty good about the depth that they've been able to build at this point at corner. I think John Robinson at this point has done a pretty good job filling in some gaps and some holes at corner with this team heading into this season. And I think what you really feel good about if you're the Titans compared to last year, and even with Jenkins as a part of it, is the speed that that group has. I think the speed is pretty noticeable out there in the secondary.
Yeah, no question. And, you know, it's interesting, too, when you talk about John Robinson in this situation. So at some point during the offseason, you know, every once in a while they'll ask us, like, okay, what was, like, the best and worst move of the GM, you know, the team you cover? And I put down for worst, I put down, you know, letting both Butler and Adoree Jackson go and leaving that, you know, when you're trying to fix your pass defense. That was my pick, because, you know, at that point you just didn't know about Christian Fulton, and I think that may have been pre-draft. So obviously Molden comes in now, Farley comes in now, and then who knows with Jenkins too. But having seen them play and how they've played together, again, in a lot of cases against a very good offense, now they haven't seen a ton of AJ Brown, they've barely seen Julio Jones, but a good offense. And then in the preseason, it's I would say I don't know if it's a 180 on that, but I'd say this position group is one of the probably most stable of the team, or on the defense at least. Now, of course, all that said, we can talk about, you know, the depth and the competition and this individual, that individual. Still got to stop, like, really, really good NFL receivers and quarterbacks on Sundays. And that's just, we'll have to see. And they're going to, right away, they're going to be tested by quarterbacks who not only can push the ball down the field, but, you know, can get outside the pocket and really give you problems that way too. It's going to be immediately into the fire with this defense.
Going to have to get off the field on third down at some point too. Going to be a pretty big test for the Titans this year.
Yes. See if they can, the third down numbers were amazing in the preseason.
Yes, they were.
Amazing third down numbers. But, I don't think they're going to threaten their NFL record this year.
I don't think so either. Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that asks, why was everyone so upset about Nissan Stadium on Saturday? I was at the game, Joe, and I got in, you know, I got to the stadium around 5:15, 5:20. I got in the back gate of the south end zone, and I was in and out of the line in 5 minutes, so I missed where everybody got stuck, but I got up to my seats in section 309, and I looked down, and throughout the entire first quarter, people were struggling to get in. So I don't know what happened. I know that's been a very consistent theme for Nissan Stadium over the years of people struggling to get in the gate. I don't know exactly what the reason was this time around, but it was pretty noticeable, I believe, on the north side. A lot of people struggling to get in on Saturday.
Yeah, so... And now this is kind of the benefit of being a ticket buyer. You know, I got an email from the Titans because, of course, I bought tickets for, you know, that the fast pass for Brennan and, you know, two of them. So Brennan and a friend of his went to the game, and I kind of brought them in, walked them to like where their seats were, and then went back to the press box, and we had no problems getting in. And that was probably about the same, similar time as you. But obviously there were issues. The Titans sent out this long email, including mentioning that they're struggling, not getting as many people working as they'd like. Also, you know, apparently there was some kind of an issue with the lightning and some of the metal detectors. To be frank, we'll be frank. There's a quote from the Titans. We'll be frank. We know what happened Saturday wasn't good enough. We're actively working to fix the issues. We are working with our partners on how to incentivize more game day staff to join us at Nissan Stadium. So that would be good. You got to get more people.
That would be good.
You got to get people. You got to pay them enough so that they want to come work. And, you know, we'll see. I mean, it was a special situation with the weather. People got sent out, then brought back in. If you got issues with the metal detectors, I'm willing to, you know, let's see how the opener goes. I think you obviously have a problem sometimes for games when people are tailgating to the last possible minute and everybody wants to come in at once, but you've also got to be able to handle that. You're an NFL stadium and you've got to be able to handle and anticipate things like that happening. So it's disappointing. I think there's a little bit of a mulligan based on those circumstances, but it's going to be a bigger challenge too, I think, because I think we're going to see a heck of a crowd for the opener.
When we come back, we'll look around the NFL, including some news on the Deshaun Watson front, with our good friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. We'll do that next. You're listening to Robbie and Rexro live from the Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.